right. Good morning, One Life. How's everybody doing? Good. So as you guys, we're going to show a video a little bit later after worship. We have a video from Pastor Mike and Gay, and just to kind of get an update from them. But I'm just going to tell you already, because I just got off the phone with him, that he is going home today. Woo! So praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so it's in praise the Lord. Yes. And so, yeah, just really excited that, you know, he's on the up and up, and he's, you know, talking to him from 5 days ago to talking to him today and yesterday, huge difference. Like, he's back to his quirky Pastor Mike self. And so he's actually joining us on Zoom. So everybody say hi to Pastor Mike.
Hi, Pastor Mike. Hi, Gaylene.
And so, yes, hi, Gaylene. And so, but yeah, we're going to continue moving forward. Hopefully he'll be back with us next weekend, but that's still to be determined as well. So we're just going to keep moving forward, continuing to praise the Lord even still. And what I love, one of the things I love about our pastor, and this is honestly why, and he'd be humble and say, oh, that's just the Lord, and it is the Lord. But one of the things him and his wife have instilled in my wife and myself and my family is how much, no matter what, you lean into the Father, no matter what your season looks like. And what I love, absolutely love, is that Pastor Mike, laying in his bed, in his hospital bed, completely unsure of what tomorrow held, like just taking it one breath, literally one breath at a time, still leaned into the Father and knew that he was chosen, that he was a son, that he knew where his faith was and who his faith was in. And so if I can just encourage you guys with anything, is that as you walk through life, because none of us right now are going through anything like that. You know, none of us, we're all fairly healthy. We're all going through life, work. We have our family. And that as the troubles of life come at us and the stress of life, whether it be work or family or whatever it is, you know, that we would remember the goodness of God. We would remember that regardless of what happens in life, that God is still on the throne. Amen. That even if we're laying in a hospital bed, God is still on the throne. Even if finances are tight, God is still on the throne. Even if whatever is happening in politics, God is still on the throne. And so it's a truth. It's the truth. It's not just true, it's the truth. And there's a difference, because a lot of people will say true stuff, but it's actually not based in truth. Truth in that, and who God is. And so we're going to worship today. We're just going to lift up praises today. And if I can encourage you with anything else as well, that you would just release your stress, your worries, your anxiety, your burdens to the Lord today as we get to worship you. And so let's just pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, that you, Lord, look at us with such pleasure in your eyes, and that we get the privilege to worship your name today. We get the privilege to give you praise today. We get the privilege to lift up your name today. And God, we just lay down all the things that we would see as burdens in our life, all the things that would keep us from moving forward, all the things that we would just struggle with, and we lay them down at your feet today, God. I just pray, Lord, that we would have an intimate, authentic encounter with you today, God. That every person in this place would get a touch from heaven. That healing, like right now, in Jesus' name, backs would be healed. In Jesus' name, pain in knees would be healed. Right now, migraines would be healed in your heavenly name. We thank you, Jesus, that you're in the healing business, that you're in the love business, God, and that you're here with us today. And so we just thank you for all that. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Come on, let's worship today.
Cindy's really smart. Yeah.
Treasures that fade are never enough.
Says the morning of the promise being sealed, and it says your buried body begins to breathe. Every time we sing that, I see the picture of Christ laying in that tomb and still and silent, and then all of a sudden just breathe, and then I feel the world breathe with him, and then he shouts, death has no claim on me. And he means that for everybody, because we are in Christ. So he has no claim on us. The death has no claim on us. Christ does. Death has no claim on us, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. So remember that when you're feeling stressed out, take a breath. Because that's what Jesus did. And then he declared freedom for all of us. Hearts that need touching, and you'll touch the spirits that need touching, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you will walk among us, Lord, and drop the seeds in all of our hearts. Lord, when Eric opens his mouth and when Nancy opens her mouth, Lord, you speak, Heavenly Father, Lord. And Lord, we just want to praise your holy name and thank you for the blessing and the outpourings you have put on Pastor Mike in his time of need. And you're bringing health and wellness to his body, Lord. And we declare continued health and wellness on Pastor Mike. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I have a special need today. One of my best friends, her brother, had a stroke last night, Lord, and he's intubated, Lord, and sedated. And Heavenly Father, Lord, encamp your angels around that young man in his bed, Heavenly Father, Lord. Minister to him, Lord. Let him hear your angels singing over him, Lord. He's not ready to go yet. I don't know if he knows you, but don't let him go yet, Lord. Minister to him even there and to his family. And Lord, we pray for a minister of everybody, to minister over everybody, Lord, who has a need here in this place today and those that they love in the world. And we just thank you for this, Father. In the sweet name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Can we give it up for the worship ladies? The worship ladies of One Life. We need to give you guys a band name.
Yeah, we do.
One Life Ladies. The OLL. How's everybody doing this morning? Do I have any happy people this Sunday morning? Yeah? Awesome. So yes, as I mentioned before, our fearless leader, Pastor Mike, is doing well, and we're actually going to show a video that he made yesterday, and so, but again, just to reiterate, he will be going home today sometime, so praises for that. So why don't we go ahead and cue up that video.
Well, hello, One Life family. Well, hello, One Life family.
Hi, guys.
We would have loved to have been joining you today, but as you see, still in this luxurious hotel.
In suite is what I called it.
In suite, yeah. The individuals that have been caring for me, as I have told many of them, are saints, and they have just risen so much further above and beyond the call of duty of servants, so... Just know that I've been in good hands. Gay's been praying and being here with me, and I've read your prayers and your encouragements. And today had a really good day. I'm eating solid food, and even though it's still trying to work it out because I haven't eaten for so long, and my stomach was a little bit messed up in this whole process. But I just wanted to let you guys know that we love you, we appreciate you, and that if I have to say one thing that I've learned through this whole experience is that the abiding presence of God doesn't have to be a hyper-spiritual experience. He has given me just wonderful peace, even when we face some really weird times. There was no fear because his perfect love was just, it was just filling my heart. I can say that, you know, there have been, just moments all along the way, just as this timing of this whole thing with Eric and Nancy and others stepping up, being there for us.
Yes.
I don't know what our little body would have done. And so the Lord knew this day was coming. So
yes.
I just want to encourage everyone that, you know, going to church and spending time together in worship and hearing a word is very good, but we need to learn to live in the abiding presence, because you don't know when you're not going to have your church. You don't know when you're going to be, you know, sitting, getting ready to go into surgery, and all of a sudden, you know, it's just you and the next moment, not knowing
right.
what's going to happen. And so, it's so good to be feeling better, and hopefully we'll get to see you guys very soon.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Gay go ahead and say something here.
So, as we went through this process, I know that there was one particular time that fear rose up in me, and I already had determined in my mind when I heard the word surgery that I was going to practice what I preach. And I spoke out loud. I spoke life out loud. And I said, no, enemy, you're not going to get me to go there. I am not going to be fearful. I'm going to rest in God. I am going to know that he's already gone before Mike and I. And I do have to say, had anything turned out badly, one thing that I was assured of is, as much as I love this man and I love him dearly, God loves him even more. And
Amen.
So I felt the comfort of that this week, this last 10 days. So we've missed you guys so much.
Yeah.
And we hate to miss today. But as you can see, we have to. In today's land of the law, it's only one person gets to come in to be with their loved one. And there's no other visitors. And you can't walk freely about the hospital. You have to stay in your loved one's room. And it's quite strenuous. And I'm thankful I got to be here. I'm thankful I got to come every day. And there were a couple nights that I had to spend because he was so critical. But God is good, and we know that he has been with us every step of the way. And because he's been with us every step of the way, he's also been with you.
Yeah.
And so we're thankful for his love. We're thankful for the peace that just was ours, just to
receive
freely.
It was there.
We didn't even have to receive
it.
It was just there.
Abiding
in
peace.
It. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful for all of you. We've heard good reports about everyone stepping up. Thank you so much for taking care of the takedown for Christmas decorations.
Oh,
thank you for
you
coming
everyone.
Together as a body and loving each other, but loving us too. And we felt it. We really did. We felt it. So
we did.
May God bless your hearts as you go through today's service. Know that we're praying for you. Know that we love you. Know that if we could, we would be there with you. But our hearts are there. And there's no distance in the spirit.
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. Just as you guys have been in this room with me at times, I know, praying and lifting me up before the Lord. You know, when you guys gather together tomorrow, we'll be with you. I mean, even if we're not,
it's today for them.
Oh yeah, today, tomorrow. Yeah. Even if we're not consciously thinking of it at the time, just know that our hearts are connected in God.
Yes.
That in Christ there is no distance. There is no separation. There is no Jew or Greek, as it says. We are all one in Christ.
Yes.
And so, love you guys. Thank you so much for all your prayers. I mean, I can't tell you how much we love you and appreciate you, and look forward to seeing you.
Yes, amen.
All right. God bless.
God bless, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So good. You know, Pastor Mike's back to his normal self when he starts preaching.
Right.
So he's going home today, which is
amazing.
Just such an amazing, I feel like I've been saying, a few more days forever. And finally today is the day. And so we're just so happy about that. Funny story, actually, for those of you who joined us on the day after he went into the hospital, we did a prayer meeting via Zoom, and a lot of you guys joined on that. And little Malachi wanted to pray, so he prayed, and then before he ended his time on camera, he said, "Pineapple." And, you know, I'm sure his parents just thought, "Oh, you're being silly, mute the mic so he doesn't say anything else." But the thing that automatically came into my mind is like, oh my gosh, I learned like a few years ago that pineapple, because back in the day, way back in the day, pineapple is such an exotic fruit that it was very expensive to bring in to America or the UK, where Europe, yeah, wherever you were. And so if you had a pineapple like at your party, people would literally rent pineapples just to put as a centerpiece. They wouldn't eat it. It was just, we have it here so as a symbol of hospitality, mm-hmm. as a symbol of, I'm having a party and I want you to see the pineapple. And I told that to the group and thought that was so funny. And then yesterday, Pastor Mike texted me, because yesterday was the first day, I think it was yesterday, the first day, the last 2 days, the first time he's been able to eat solid foods. And so they've been slowly just giving him solid food to see how his stomach would handle it. And what did they give him for a snack yesterday? pineapple. And so just thought it was so funny that did you know that, David, that he got? Yeah. And just thought it was so funny that that's what he got. Just hospitality. I just feel like it was the Lord reminding us in a silly way, like, I am being hosted. My presence is being hosted in the hospital room. Because ultimately that is the life we want to live. That is the life that our pastor lives, is a life of hosting the presence of God, yeah. Not just in a church building, but in spite of a church building, right. In a hospital building, in a hospital bed with a tube down his throat, in IVs in his arms, et cetera, et cetera. Like, and so.
I mean, so much so that he's trying, like, these nurses are coming in and they're trying to, you know, do what they can to help him feel as comfortable as possible and heal. And he's still ministering to them and pulling the gold out of who they are and speaking into where they're at and reading their mail. And they're like, well, you know, just be having an encounter with Jesus, with this man who's, you know, on the verge of, you know, going in and out of consciousness and stuff, but he's still calling out the gold and who God says that they are and speaking life over them regardless. And I'm like, that is amazing. I hope to get there when I grow up.
So Nancy and I get the privilege of sharing again. And last week we shared a message about the new year and how to let the year, not let the year just happen to you, but happen to your year, being super intentional with your year. We talked about Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus climbed up the sycamore tree and got himself in position to not only see Jesus, but to be seen by Jesus. And again, the question I asked is, how are we going to spend this year seeing Jesus intentionally, but also allowing ourselves to be seen by Jesus? And I don't want to preach last week's message again, but I just want to hit that hard again, that we have to allow ourselves to be seen by Jesus. It is key in our lives. As we walk this Christian life, no matter how messy it looks, to say, Jesus, this is me. Mm-hmm. This is the mess I'm in. This is the mess I created, and here I am. You will be so happy you did that, because Jesus, our Father, is such a loving Father that He's not afraid of your mess. He's never afraid of your mess. Some of us, we could all get up here and share stories of messes that we've made in our lives, right? We could all get up here and talk about stuff that we've done, things that we've said to our spouse, things that we've said to our kids, things that we've said to loved ones, things that we've said to the person that cut us off this morning on our way to church, right? And Jesus isn't afraid of that mess. And so we're going to kind of continue to stay on that vein a little bit, just thinking about 2021 and how we're going to make this year a year of getting going deeper in the Lord with intention. If we can get to the end of this year and we could hear testimony from our church family that we grew closer to the Lord, we won. It was a good year. If at the end of this year somebody is able to say, I used to not read my Bible at all, but now I read it once a week, that's a win. Mm-hmm. If we get to the end of this year and we can get to a place where we're saying we worship the Lord, like not just on a Sunday morning when we had good songs playing, but actually like I lived a lifestyle of worship, then we won. And so I want to talk about this idea about reaction versus response. And if you don't know, those are two different things. And we've all experienced both, okay? So the simplest way that I can put it is this way, is that when you react, it's not even a thought. It's almost a knee-jerk reaction. Something happens, you know, I get mad and I just say the first thing that comes out of my mouth. When, you know, if you've seen videos of, like, I like to watch scare cam videos, sometimes people will get scared and the person that gets scared will punch the person that scared them. That's a reaction. I didn't even think about it. I just did it. A response is a heartfelt, I'm stopping, I'm pausing to respond to the situation, to respond to that moment that happened where it got me angry, it got me riled up, it got me sad, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that if we look at the scriptures, if we look at the gospels, we can see many of times where people responded, but also many of times where people reacted. And we also can see in the gospels a lot of times how our Jesus was a responsive person, how he didn't do things out of a place of being led by emotion, but actually being led out of Holy Spirit, being led by Holy Spirit. Okay, so does that make sense? Is that clear as mud? Yes. So, and speaking of mud, this is what sparked this thought that we were going to share. I'm a FedEx driver, and I sometimes go into places that vehicles should not go, and especially big ones. And so, Thursday or Friday. I was on a route out in Ellensburg, in like rural Ellensburg, and I'm getting towards the end of my day. And for those of you who like FedEx for this type of job, it's like you're working against the clock. So it's not a job where you're like waiting for time to pass by. It's like time's going too fast, and now it's 4 o'clock, and I'm still delivering packages. I want to go home. And so I'm almost done with my route. And I pull into this house. I deliver the package. I'm like, great. I have 3 stops left, and then I'm home. Great. Normally, what I would do in a lot of these different situations, I'd back up, you know, do my little safe turn and stuff. But I thought I was in such a hurry that I was like, oh, there's this dirt over here. I'm just going to make a U-turn and just go out that way. But it wasn't dirt. It was another form of dirt, mud. And not the kind of mud that Jesus healed blind eyes with. The kind of mud that gets you stuck. So I deliver the package. I get into the mud. And I know immediately I just messed up. Like, I am not getting out of this. And I sit there. You ever have those moments where you're just like, you just like know, like, if I would have made just one other decision, I would not be in this mess. Like, I was just trying to think, like, oh my gosh, if I could just like go back in time 5 seconds, I wouldn't be here right now. And I'm trying, and I finally face my reality, like, I'm stuck. And it's starting to get dark. I'm literally in front of this person's home. And so I had to call my boss, and long story short, he pulls me out an hour later. Okay, so I'm there for an hour, literally an hour, just in this mud, making a mess of this person where they probably were going to plant grass or something. I just tilled the ground for them a little bit more. And so I got home, and I was exhausted. I was, you know, obviously I had to still drive from Ellensburg, go to the back to the station, and then go home. So, I mean, it was a process. It was late. And I was telling Nancy this, and I was just like, you know, like, I'm just so mad at myself that I made this decision. And Nancy, because she is such a graceful woman, and she always sees the good in people, she's like, babe, anybody could have done that. Like, it's okay. We all make mistakes. I'm like, yes, that's right. But I actually chose to do that. This wasn't an accident.
It was a hasty
decision. And what came to me in this is I had this thought, hasty decisions lead to hasty outcomes, which is not what we are going for in life. We don't want a fast outcome. You know, we don't want something. We want a developed, like, if you're cooking something, you don't want to throw all the ingredients and hope it comes out like a haste. You know, you want something that was developed and like took process, a response, because out of that then comes me not getting stuck in the mud and getting home at an earlier time, et cetera, et cetera. And so I immediately thought of Moses. Moses in the Bible, there's 2 different instances, and we're going to read them both today. So if you have your Bibles, Moses 17, Exodus 17. And that's where we're going to read. And so I'm going to go ahead and let you read.
Okay. I have New King James Version for those who care if you're using the Bible app. But then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you've brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children through thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What do I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also, take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
So we have this picture of, and this is a stressful situation. If you've read the Bible at all and read this encounter that or these moments that Moses has with the children of Israel, they're very annoying. I mean, like, they're whining, they're constantly questioning, you know, they're seeing the thing, they've already seen the things that God can do and still questioning the Lord. They've seen how Moses leads and still questions Moses. And so if you could just for a second, and if for any of you who have kids and dealt with kids, do you understand this as well? Like, my heart is for you. The reason why we're doing this is because I'm for you. I'm not against you. And I can imagine that Moses has this mentality as well. Like, I'm so for you. I've risked everything for you guys, and all you do is complain and moan. And so, but he goes to the Lord. Going to the Lord is the best thing you can do in any stressful situation. Mm-hmm. And it could look like a variety of things. It could look like getting with your spouse, babe, you know, we just need to pray about this thing. It could look like, I just need to take a second, and I didn't need to go into my room and close the door and just be quiet with the Lord. I need to go put on some music, or I need to go for a drive. But I can't overemphasize enough the power of getting alone with the Lord and bringing your struggles and your stress. And there's no too little or too big of a stress that God can't handle. I mean, literally, we're looking at God. I need you to give us water where there's no water. Like this, like he's asking God for a miracle, and we just kind of read it flippantly. He strikes a rock and water comes out. Like, that's an amazing thing that happens. Like, that's something that, like, I don't know. I've never seen water come out of a rock, you know? And so when we come to God with our issues, with our life, with our struggle, we invite God to do something amazing with whatever it looks like.
Mm-hmm. And I just love how Moses was so real with the Lord. He's like, "These people are driving me nuts. What do I do? I'm going, you know, like, they need water. Help me out, because I'm going to lose myself in a moment." I just love that, how he's super real with the Lord. It doesn't mean he didn't sin in that at this point, but he did. He was just really real with the Lord. He let him know, like, this sucks, and I don't know what to do, so please make something happen so I can go about my business. Right?
How many has ever been frustrated with people? Just a few of us?
Okay.
It's okay. People are frustrating, okay? People that you work with, your family, your spouse, they get frustrating.
Not me.
No, not you. Not me either. We're excluded from that sentence. We don't ever frustrate one another.
Yeah.
It's okay to bring your frustrations to the Lord in frustration.
Yes.
God's not afraid of your frustration. Now, obviously, God is sovereign, and there is a healthy fear of the Lord we all need to have. However, he's not afraid to experience us in our pain, in our anger, in our, "God, I am so upset right now. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to pray, but I need you to do something." Mm-hmm. God's not looking for perfect prayers.
In fact, he discourages them.
He's not looking for prayers to be, so eloquent that, you know, poets can say them. That's great, and that's amazing. But I believe what the Lord is looking for is just for his children to be real with him, his children to come to him and say, hey, I'm really stressed out, and I have this. As a dad, I'm not looking for my kids to bring me perfect masterpieces in everything that they do. I'm looking for them to bring them. Mm-hmm. I want Caden to bring Caden, Skyly to bring Skyly, Leona to bring Lay. Like, I want them to say, this is me, and as a father, me, allow them to be you. I don't need you to look exactly like me or like your mom or whoever. I need you to bring you. Mm-hmm. So then let's jump to Numbers 20, because we're almost in the exact situation.
Yeah, it's Numbers 20, verse 2 through 12. And it says, now there was no water for the congregation, once again. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them.
And that's a bummer. God's decisions, when here's the thing we need to prepare ourselves for. When you live a lifestyle of bringing your all to the Lord and your questions to the Lord and seeking guidance in the Lord, his answers aren't always going to make sense. Actually, I would say rarely is his solution going to make sense. God is not a God of always calculated, do this, so this equals this. We're not always going to be able to see the path. We talked about it a few weeks ago when we were up here with Mike and Gay. You know, us going down to Redding, California, with two kids and no money doesn't make sense. Even now, like, I think, what were we thinking? It's crazy. But what we knew was the Lord was calling us to do something. So we were either going to make the decision to follow the Lord, believe that he was going to provide a way, or stay in our safe, comfortable bubble at our, you know, church that we love, living with our parents who would have loved, still probably would let us live there to this day. You know, And so we had to make that decision for ourselves. Is God, this decision doesn't make sense. It doesn't actually, like, for me, I'm a calculated person. Like, the decisions I make, I want to make sure that they're leading to something productive. They're leading, like, that I can see the outcome. That's just how, is anybody else like that? Okay. Okay. You guys are my people. Okay. I'm married to someone who's not exactly like that, though. Okay. And if it wasn't for her, actually, I don't think we would have went to Reading. And there was a point, because I've never moved up until this point. When we moved back in 2012, Yakima was the only place I'd moved around. I don't know how to move to another state. I don't know how to pack my family up and go. And there were moments where I thought, oh, things are falling into place. Great. We're going to be set up. And then they would fall through. And like, I remember one time I'd met a guy online that was living down in Reading or was going to live in Reading. And he was like, yes, like, well, you know, you guys can come and stay with me and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. This is so great. This is God. And then it fell through. And I'm like, I don't understand. And so I'm questioning, like, is this the right decision? And I remember Nance, this is like months before we're moving. We're talking like 2 months out of us moving. Nancy goes, we need to be ready to go no matter what. If we get to the date in September when our U-Haul is packed, we need to be ready to go. And I thought, I agreed to it in the back of my head thinking, God's not going to do that. Like, okay, Nance, yes, I agree with you. I stand in faith, but I know that God's going to come through in the next couple months and it's going to look like, I don't know, but it's going to be miraculous. We get to September and there's still nothing set up. We come to church on Sunday and we have a U-Haul out in the parking lot. Like, we're literally leaving to nothing. Mm-hmm. We're going to Reading where we know
we had two no people. House and is set up for ourselves or anything. We didn't know where we knew we were going to Reading. We knew we had to get to Bethel, but that was it. We had no house in place, no even idea of a house in place. So we were like, okay, Lord. And we had Barb, who was here at the time, and she just prophesied over us. And she's like, I just need you to know, like, you just got to go. And when you see the door, you're going to know it. And so that led us to the church's parking lot.
Point being is that the answer that God gives you isn't always going to make sense. Mm-mm. And we have to decide in our hearts, either we believe him or we don't. Like, that is the line. Either he is the God that makes the miraculous happen or he isn't. He's the God that provides or he doesn't. And I had to make that decision. We had to make that decision early on in our journey of faith, is like, either we fully believe that God is calling us and that he's going to do the miraculous in our lives, or he's not. And so we've just jumped so far on that side that we've just like, all right, God. And what's amazing is that you see God, when you see God do something miraculous, it gives him permission to do it again. Mm-hmm. In your life and others' lives. This is why testimony is so important, is that we get to share this testimony and say, hey, and not that everybody's called to pack up their family and go on this faith journey, but it gives permission when you hear a testimony that sounds so miraculous that you're like, yeah, I attach my faith to that. Then when you go risk in your faith, you get to remember these testimonies and say, God, you've done it there. Do it again in my life. That's why testimony is so powerful. That's why when you hear somebody share, like, I was praying and God came through, attach your faith to that.
Yeah.
Because you, even if you don't need it, even if it's, we were praying for healing and then we saw the healing, you're like, well, I don't need healing right now, or I don't know anybody that needs healing. Attach your faith to that, because you don't know who you're going to encounter or what you're going to encounter in the next days to come. And you could pull on that testimony and say, oh, I remember a church, somebody shared a testimony, they got healed of, you know, et cetera. And now I could pray that into this person.
For sure. Or Joe with his house. We have friends over in Tri-Cities, and he reached out to Eric, and I just said, hey, I just needed prayer, you know, our house, we need a house, we want these things, and da-da-da, can you just be praying for that? And Eric was like, oh, yeah, I have a testimony, you know, my wife and I, we've constantly, everywhere we go, we pray, you know, the things that we need for our family, and we watch the Lord not only provide those things for our family, but he gives us more and abundantly, and for less than what that property value is worth, and just constant miracles in that division. And so he gave that testimony and blessed him in it. And like, what was it? How long
it was later? The next week.
Yeah.
The next week. And just to paint a deep, even clearer picture of this, this man and his family lived in an apartment that was so bad. The neighbors were so bad and the apartment was so bad that they would every weekend go stay somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So they stayed there during the week because mm-hmm. they had to work and kids had school and stuff. But on the weekend, they were like, we're not going to stay here during the weekend because our neighbors are awful. our apartment landlords won't do anything about the neighbors, and so they felt very stuck.
We were there just a couple years ago in our own apartment with domestic violence going on above us and screaming. I mean, parties going on till 3 o'clock in the morning and people being thrown downstairs. It was awful. So we knew we needed to get out of there.
So I just told him, I'm going to release this over you. And then the next week, probably not even, it was like 3 days later, he calls me and says, hey, we found this house and we just got it. And it has a yard and et cetera, et cetera. Like, that is the God we serve. The God that says, I did this once over here in Yakima or in Portland or wherever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it in Pasco, right? Like, and I didn't even need to like be there and like, well, we're going to lay hands on this land and we're going to, you know, that's powerful stuff too. But God just moves how he wants to move when we let faith show up the way we want it to show up.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So love is responsive, and this is the life that I want to live is a life of love. And the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to read it here in a second out of the Passion Translation, is a powerful verse that we've all heard. We've heard it at weddings. We've heard it, you know, mainly movies. Yeah. I mean, it's quoted all the time, what love is. And what I want to point out is that when it says the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And I say that because we don't get to pick and choose what fruit of the Spirit we want to experience. Oh, I want some peace today, but I don't want the other stuff, so I'm just going to take the peace. Oh, the love, yeah, or the patience, yes, I'll take some of that, but the other stuff I don't want to deal with. Like, I don't want to go down that path. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And that is what Jesus walked in. He walked in love, which is ultimately the fruit of the Spirit. And so this is what it says in the Passion Translation. This is Galatians 5:22. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. So again, it's the fruit. When we say, yes, God, I want to partake in the fruit of the Spirit, it's I'm going to take all this stuff and apply this to my life. I'm going to take the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the faith. I'm going to take all these things and I'm going to apply it to my situations in life. I'm going to apply it to this relationship in life. I'm going to apply it to this circumstance in life. This is how I'm going to operate in life, out of the fruit of the Spirit. Because we see Jesus responding in so many different ways. We see Jesus not getting worked up or not getting blindsided by any of these things. I think about Jesus in the boat. There's a story in the Gospels where Jesus is napping. And this is how we know naps are biblical. Amen. Jesus is napping in the boat and his disciples are freaking out because the waves and the waters are getting crazy. And they go down and say, Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. And Jesus had an opportunity there to react. I don't know about you guys, but getting woken up, like all of a sudden, is not pleasant. And it's just not pleasant. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking of stories I could tell, but we won't go there. So Jesus had an opportunity to wake up very grumpy, wake up very like, and react out of this like moment of like, what is your guys' deal? I'm sleeping. Deal with it yourself. Like, figure it out.
Kind of did it.
He responded though, gets up, calms the storm, and then takes the opportunity to teach his disciples a lesson. Mm-hmm. How long should I be with you? Why do you guys fear? Like, I'm here. And again, this goes, you know, I mentioned it last week, that peace isn't the absence of chaos. It's the presence of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Even in the presence of waves and crashing waves, and we could use the analogy of waves of life, you know, whatever the waves of life are, when you bring Jesus into your situation, when you allow Jesus to move in your life and allow him to be present in your life, you then get to operate out of that peace, mm-hmm. even when there's waves around your boat.
Right.
You have something?
Well, no, I'm just remembering to pause. Like, that's a big thing because we're talking about reacting versus responding and putting pauses in your daily life, making sure that, because even God rested, even Jesus rested. He knew it was important. From one ministry trip to another, he would make sure that he got his rest in there so that he could be realigned with what the Father was doing, because he never did accept what he saw his Father do. He never said except what he heard his Father say. And that takes practice. That takes knowing yourself, making sure that you're resting. Even after he created this beautiful world, he took a whole day of rest to appreciate and build a covenantal, intentional appreciation for everything that he just produced. And that's so important. If we would just listen and take note from his book of like, yeah, all these works, you're doing good stuff, but you've got to make sure you're resting and that you're from, it doesn't mean that you can just, now there is a season. There are seasons where you're called to do nothing but to be still and to just listen and appreciate. But there's sometimes it's learning how to rest in the work that you're doing, because you're yoke is easy and your burden is light, because you're giving it to him and you're constantly walking in alignment with him and aware of him being with you, right? And so just making sure that we take care of ourselves, that we're resting and making sure that we're pausing even just for a second, taking that breath before we react to a situation so it can be a response. Especially as parents, I've had to learn to do that really well, because I have a tendency, if I'm not careful, I could tear my children down. I could tear their spirits down because I'm frustrated at a crazy decision. But if I just breathe in for that second, like recently in this season, I'm carrying a little boy. And so I've noticed like my reactors are like firing. I think I have more testosterone in my body than I'm used to. So for me, I'm like, this isn't me. I'm usually a very patient person, but I feel like this urge to just want to like fight, you know? And so I have to like stop. And there's been things that Liana will do because she's my testy one. I love her so much for it. She makes me better every day. But she's very challenging. And I didn't realize just how much so until I'm carrying this boy and my little fighter things want to go off. And Skylie was like, Mom, aren't you going to do that? Aren't you going to correct that? Like, she just did that. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to breathe for a minute. Because if I don't breathe and choose my battles today, you're going to be without a sister. So, and I just know that because I'm not myself right now. And I'm just being honest.
I don't know if you should say that. Delete that.
It's real. Like, I mean, even with sisters and brothers or moms and dads, like, it's hard. Like, if we don't learn to pause and, okay, I'm going to let that one slide today, because yeah, it's probably not the greatest, but if I correct it right now, I'm going to tear a spirit down and I'm going to break a will. And that's not my heart. My heart is to be more like Professor Xavier from the X-Men, who are teaching these people to use their gifts as tools and not weapons of mass destruction, but they're learning how to use them to bring the greater good. And he always sees the greater good in people. And I love that. And that's my mission in life with my children, is to disciple them and teach them how to use these things that I could look at and say, oh, why? And I do. But ultimately, I'm like, she needs that backbone, especially in today's world, because I need her to know who she is and who she is. I need her to be able to stand up and fight when the time calls for it and not be afraid to say what's right and what's wrong. You know, but I want to cultivate it in a way where it's a tool and she's not misunderstood and thought that she's just this big jerk, because she's not. She's the most caring, kind person in the world. She just has a spirited heart, and she wants to know that she knows why she's doing something. She's just like me. If I think about it, I'm like, I'm wired that way. I've never been one to just do something because somebody else said I had to. I was the one. I had a teacher that once told me that I'm a rat. And I was like, what? And they're like, it doesn't matter how many times I tell you to do something. He's like, I swear you run the other way, the way of destruction, because you have to know what's going on. And I'm like, no, I just want to know why we're running. Like, if it's something we can take care of, what can we do? Like, how can we fix it? How can I partner with what's going on? And I guess it could be something that killed the cat, curiosity, right? But I don't know. Anyway, I like to see it as a blessing. She is a blessing in my life. But if I don't know my season right now is not something that I'm familiar with. I'm out of control of my emotions. They're just kind of going off, and I'm not used to this testosterone thing. But it's a beautiful thing to know, like, oh, it's okay to pause, and no, I don't have to fight that battle today. Actually, I'm just going to breathe through this one. I'm going to let her slide, and we'll take care of it tomorrow. You know, like when I'm in a more stable mindset and I can actually have a conversation with my daughter and I can bring the love of Christ into it and bring correction in the proper way versus trying to combat with her in the moment and potentially lose my salvation.
If you don't grasp a hold of being a responsive person versus reactive person, if you let life set the pace of your life, then you will be a reactive person. Because this pause thing is very vital. Life is so busy right now. Our culture is just hurry, hustle, grind, get things going. We're a microwave society as well. We want things right now, which a lot of times I don't mind. I like that I could pre-order and just walk in and get my coffee. However, that same model cannot be applied to how I operate life at home, how I operate life in my marriage, in my parenting, in my church. God isn't a microwave God where he's just like, yes, just put it in, push the 30-second button, and I'll be done with your prayer, and you'll have this nice, warm prayer. No, he is a God of process. He is a God of, hey, it's going to happen on my time because my timing is perfect. And even though you're not going to like how long it might take, again, that's a choice I've made. I'm going to serve you, God, because I believe that your truth is everything, and that what you say is going to happen is going to happen. If you say I'm going to be healed, I'm going to be healed. If you say I'm going to be provided for, I'm going to be provided for. If you say that my pastor's in the hospital, but he's going to walk out of there, he's going to walk out of there. Like, that's the stake in the ground that I put in and is immovable for me. And so, and for us. And so this pausing thing, this pausing strategy is vital in becoming a responsive person. And so that's our encouragement, is that as we move along in our lives, as we move along in this year, and you know, we move on into February in just a few weeks, that we would recognize that I want to be a responsive person. I want to stop and breathe. I want to stop and take assessment of my life. What can I do better? How can I get just 1% better in my life? How can I get just 1% closer with the Lord and not let this life just happen to me, but me actually happen to my life? Amen?
Yeah, and I don't want to sit here and constantly like hate what we came out of. I want to have an appreciation for 2020. I think that there's so many precious gems that were being built in that season, because the most precious gems are created through stress and tension and process and discomfort. That's how we get the most beautiful gems in the world, right? And I want 2020 to be one of those beautiful gems that we get to hold up and say, look what God did. It didn't seem like it in the time. It was extremely exhausting. It hurt a lot of the times, and it was not fun. But look at what came out of this from glory to glory, right? And in Proverbs 20:25, it says, to make rash, hasty decisions shows you that you are not trusting the Lord. But when you rely totally on God, you will act carefully and prudently.
That's so good. Proverbs 28:25. So, how many of us are going to put our full trust in the Lord? Okay. I'm just going to declare that this is going to be a house that trusts the Lord. Mm-hmm. That doesn't just say it, but actually lives it. And so let's pray. It's after 12. And so let's wrap this up. So Lord, we thank you, God, that you are a God that does what he says he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And God, that even when we make messes, even when we make mistakes, even when we go the wrong direction, Lord, that you still love us, you're still patient, you're still kind, you're still sovereign, God.
Yes.
And God, I just, Lord, right now I want to release, Lord, your abundant peace over this house, over every person, Lord, any person that is feeling anxiety, is feeling stress from life, from work, from family, from finance, whatever it might be, God, that you would just invade them right now, God. Invade them, invade their hearts, God. Remind them, Lord, of the peace, Lord, that you carry, that you are freely giving away. And God, we just thank you so much, Jesus, that you're moving in our lives every day, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are a miracle making God, mm-hmm. a miracle providing God.
Yes.
We thank you, Jesus, that Pastor Mike is on the up and up. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus, that although the doctors say it's going to be however long for his gut to be back to normal, Lord, that you can still and will move in his body.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And we just thank you as well for the doctors, God. We thank you, Jesus, that doctors are not second-rate healings.
Mm-mm.
God, that you, Lord, provide us, Lord, with the medical care we need and the technology we need. And we just thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. And so we just pray over our week. Pray, God, as we go into our work week, into our school week, into whatever the week has before us, Lord, that we would be led by you, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we just thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, before we go, I do want to give opportunity, if anybody has anything on their heart they want to share or prayer requests. Do you have something? Yeah.
So I've been having this weird pain in my wrist. It's been like, it just feels really tight whenever I wake up. And sometimes if I'm like moving around or walking, then like it just starts to hurt. And it's not very comfortable. So.
Okay. You want people to come up with me and they come and
touch you? Okay, so if anybody wants to come and lay hands on my son while we pray, that would be amazing. But don't feel like you have to. If you just extend your arms.
Yeah, so Jesus, we just thank you. Yeah, that the right arm right there. God, we just, right now, we just ask that you would touch Caden's arm. Yeah. We thank you, Lord, that pain doesn't exist in heaven. And we just ask right now, Jesus, that you would just completely heal, Lord, whatever discomfort, whatever pain, whatever this is, God, that you would take it away. We just say, pain, you have no place in this body.
Right.
You are not welcome here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Jesus, right now for this healing.
Yeah, we just say, Father, that your peace would come in its place, God, your healing oil. Jesus would just run through the bones and marrow, Father, and that it would just begin to be loosened again. We speak, we give you permission, wrist, to feel fully well, in Jesus' name. And amen.
You want to move it around, buddy? Does it feel any different?
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Praise Jesus. So we'll keep watching on that.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Anybody else?
Matt, do you have something?
Yeah, just, you know, you hear everybody is so, so thankful and so happy that 2020 is behind us, you know, and all the horrible things that happened, but never forget 2020. Let's not take anything for granted.
That's good.
You know, yes, a lot of bad things did happen, but also God gave us the time to slow down, to stop, take inventory of ourselves, to reconnect with our loved ones and our family. And yes, he did cause, you know, a lot of us did know somebody, some loved ones that we lost, but God was just calling them home. It was their time to go home.
So good.
But just never take anything for granted, any time for granted. And I like to look at it, that was just God sitting us down to say, you guys are just going too fast, slow down. You know, hug each other, spend time with each other, and get to know each other again.
I like it.
Thank you,
Matt.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. Anyone else? All right. Oh, Mylon? Yeah.
Come on up, girl.
Come on up.
Really.
All right,
yeah,
let's go after it.
It hurts, and it's been hurting for like 3 days now. And in the morning when I wake up, it's like I can barely take a step. So I think I might have sprained it.
Does it hurt right now?
Yeah, oh yeah, it hurts.
And you're stomping your foot up there?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And I was just trying to like pretend like it doesn't hurt, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess it still hurts.
Yeah.
It
so where hurts. Are you pain from one to 10 right now?
Pain from 1 to 10, I'd say it's probably about a 3.
Okay. Well, let's pray. So yeah, Caden, you just received something, so let's just release it. So go ahead and pray.
It's right here in the arch. I know it's like I got a shoe on.
Go ahead and pray, buddy.
Touch your foot.
Yeah, touch my foot.
Yeah, Jesus.
pray, buddy? So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, that whether it's an arm or foot or cancer or whatever, God, that you are in the healing business. So right now, we just ask that you would just touch this foot, God, and that all bruising, all pain, all discomfort would just cease to exist. Yeah, God, we just release heaven over this body. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you are doing a miraculous work in this place. We thank you, Jesus, that pain does not exist in heaven. And so we just, yeah. Yeah, we thank you, God, right now that as Myla begins to walk on it or stomp on it or whatever, she's not going to feel any pain. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and test it out.
It still hurts. It's like a shooting pain up through here. I don't know what it is in my arch.
That's okay. We'll just pray one more time.
Here, and you know what? Can I take this shoe off?
Please.
I feel like I really, like, I mean, it's getting worse. That's the only reason I came out, because I think I actually hurt it, which really sucks. No, it's not, because it's even worse when I don't have a heel on.
Like, really?
Yeah, it hurts, like, when I walk, it starts here and it shoots up through the ankle right in the arch of the foot. Wow. So
God, I just command this pain to go in Jesus' name, and we speak correction and wholeness over this foot, Lord, that any trauma from whatever it was that happened, Father, we command it to go in Jesus' name. And we just speak your healing oil in its place,
yes,
God, that
Jesus.
You would begin to lubricate every cell, every fiber, every vein, every muscle, every bone, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
That if there's anything that's apart, Father, that you would mend it together again in Jesus'
right
name.
Now.
Right now.
In Jesus'
yeah,
name.
We just speak correction and health into this foot, Jesus. And foot, we give you permission to feel fully well in Jesus' name. We give you permission just to be whole in Jesus' name.
Still kind of hurts.
Okay.
Do you feel anything different?
I felt when you guys were praying, I felt it start to move.
Mm.
Like I felt the Holy Spirit moving.
Okay.
Maybe it's just, you know, it just needs some time.
Sometimes that's how it works.
Maybe it, like, you know, maybe your praying corrected it, so now it can begin to heal rather than get worse.
Yeah.
Because I felt it was getting worse every day. So I'll check in with you guys tomorrow.
Please do.
Better.
And that's the thing. We don't have to have all the answers.
No.
We prayed for Pastor Mike Thursday. I wanted him home the next day, and he's going home a week and a half later. So we're just going to continue believing that the pain is going to go away. And, yep. Pastor Galen says you need to lay hands on it again. Mama Gay. Okay.
Sorry, I know that
this is kind of being difficult, but
so
I don't know.
No, it's just a
test. No, we're going to keep going after it. I'm just going to close service, so if you guys need to go, that's fine. But we're just going to keep praying. And if you need prayer, you know, and you feel comfortable, don't be afraid to come up, and we'd love to pray with you guys. And so we're going to pray for this. We love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.